Adults, if you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. Today is my privilege and honor to be able to bring forth the word as Pastor Jerry is vacationing with his family for some relaxing time away. And it has been a very interesting week. One thing, I haven't had to get into that routine of making those daily phone calls, so that was always a challenge for me, and a good discipline. And if you have been listening to the calls, you have received the hints of what this message will be pertaining to. And before I go any farther, in case you're joining us online, I'm Ken, and I'm the associate pastor here at the church. And we're just glad that you're joining us. And for those folks that are here and the folks that might be visiting with us, we're glad you're here. And so glad that God brought us together to hear this message because he knew exactly who was going to be here today. So the word from the acrostic is serve. S was for surrender. E was for effort. R was for respect. V was for vow. And E was for encourage. Just as we were challenged earlier to examine our hearts, we need to make sure that we are examining our lives to make sure that we are serving properly and not just sitting on our backsides waiting to be served. Because guess what? It's not just a few of us that are called to serve. It's all y'all. Okay? All of us serve in some way, shape, or form. And God has given us all gifts in order to be doing that. You know, just think about it. If you were sitting at home and you were waiting for your legs to decide to get up and start moving, what would you be doing? Probably still sitting there. Have you ever had your leg go to sleep? And you got up and tried to walk, it doesn't work out too well. And that's what it's about in serving. The body is all working together, serving all the parts. In that same way, we are called to serve. Now, have you ever thought about the game of tennis? The score is love, love at the beginning. And the score doesn't change until someone serves. So can't even get started. The same can be said in the Christian walk, in that our ministry is filled with love, and it cannot begin until we truly serve. And we are called to be servants of the Lord. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 12, 26, he said these words, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." He also told them in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here he is, the Son of God. And what is he doing? He is taking the lowest position in mankind's standards, even to the point of giving his life for them. We are called to follow the example he set to serve properly. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verses 13 through 18. "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge." And I got a little bit of ring on my mic, so can you turn it down a little bit? "But the mouth of the fools feed on folly. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with turmoil with it. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Father God, we thank you for your word today, and we know that you are here. You promise wherever two or three are gathered together that you're there in their midst, and we welcome you. We ask now that you will move upon our hearts. Let our ears be open to you so that we can become the servants that you're calling us to be. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I ask a favor, Bill? Could you close those back doors? The light from the parking lot is reflecting off of windshields. Thank you. Kept getting these flashes. I'm going, someone taking my picture? At least let me pose, you know? All right, so, number one, know the field manual. Where? In your heart and in your mind. You have to know it in your heart. And the reason I say that, the first verse that we read, a joyful heart or a happy heart, glad heart, makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. We always talk about things robbing our joy. And that is life. I mean, let's be real. I have been, you know, personal confession here. I have been on an emotional roller coaster that I thought, oh, you know, in all my years of ministry, I've ministered to people and I've talked to them and it's like, I understand. I didn't. Until I experienced it myself. You know, since January, all the firsts without my dad, I could make that. Then we have our kids announcing that they're moving to Florida and taking four of our grandkids with them. And then Tina and I have a chance to get away for a week and go to a retreat center for pastors and there be refreshed and renewed and just be on a high there because there's other pastors there that we just built each other up and encouraged one another. And I had someone this last week tell Tina, is Ken okay? And she said, well, you know, this. And she goes, well, that explains it. He just hasn't been his happy self. Okay. Yeah. Human Ken is ready to cry. But I know on the spiritual side where my joy comes from. You know, we have friends that are here today that just lost their mom. I was talking with Bob yesterday at men's breakfast. He said, I'm tired of going to funerals. We came in today and the hot water tank in the communion room blew, and so the back area is flooded. I got that call this morning, and the first thing was, okay, they called Ken, what am I going to do? You know, 1-800-CALL-KEN. The BSF lady sent me a card with that too, so it's a lot of jokes going there. But those things happen, and we can't let it rob our joy. So what did I do? We called Ron, we called Everett, and they called ServPro. They're on it. Knowing who we can call and how we serve one another is what this is all about. To know in our heart that we have people we can count on, that we have ones that love us and will be there to serve us and help us in our time of need. It all goes back to having to practice what I've been preaching. And it takes a lot of action on my part to make sure my heart is in the right place. I can't do the adjustments for you. is between you and Jesus. But I'm telling you right now, if you're in his word and you're hiding it in your heart, it is such a tool that God can use in your life to help you in every way, shape, and form. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and in his good time he will honor you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Be careful. Watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victims to devour. We have to do that. When you cast your cares, it's not like casting a fishing pole and reel it back in. You cast it. You get rid of it. You put it off. So how many of you will be honest enough to say, I have cast all my cares at Jesus' feet without taking any of them back? I can't put my hand up either. Because we, especially when you're a Mr. Fix-It or a Miss Fix-It, you think you got to get it done and you're the one to get it accomplished. Sometimes we can't. And that's why we have to humble ourselves to say, I can't do it all. And when we cast all of our cares, to know that he cares for us. And he's going to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And I'm not just talking about financial needs. I'm talking about our mental and our physical and our spiritual and our emotional needs. All our needs. Because all means all, and that's all means. You're going to hear a lot of repetition today, but that's one of the things that helps us remember. Because I'm like Winnie, unless I got that posted on my calendar or post-it notes around, I forget. And the only way to know what God's word says is to read God's word. When? Only on Sundays? Only for Awana? Every day. And if you need a reminder, put it in your calendar as a daily devotion time. Block it off. If you write post-it notes all over, if you cannot get into that habit, you have to do that. But I'm telling you, it will change your life. Because it never fails that what I've read in my morning's devotions is exactly what I need as I'm talking to people during the day. That's the God we serve. Look over to 2 Timothy ...2:15. Didn't Winnie just read this earlier? Yes, she did. When it says, work hard so God can approve you. Be a good worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. I used to be on, growing up, we had Bible quiz. And we had to memorize whole chapters, whole books of the Bible. And to make it easy, we divided up our team, and it was like there was four of us on the team, so we would all take a section to memorize at least those scriptures. and then be familiar with the rest of them. But you had to know it. Because if not, you're sitting there with your hand ready to go on the buzzer, and the question comes and you're going, I think I know it. But then you don't. And then afterwards it's like, I knew that one. And you feel a little bit of shame there. Well, we're ready for whenever the buzzer is ready to go if we're hiding God's word in our heart. If we're doing what he tells us to do. And if we are taking it and making it not only in our heart, but in our head. You may not remember the address where it's found, but you can at least know what the verse says. And when you do, if you can't remember the address, you can Google it. Or, better yet, keep reading until you find that exact verse. But there's all sorts of things out there today to help you with this. When I was at the retreat center this last, or 2 weeks ago with Tina, we took a time of spending in the chapel, just the two of us praying together and quiet devotion. And it was really cool because we went in there, and on the coffee table in the chapel was a book by Dr. David Jeremiah, and right beside it was a book by Dr. Jerry Ingalls. Yes, the Deckers know Jerry, but I mean, to know those books are there, it's another tool. You have those books. Have you been using those tools? Have you been making it to get it into your mind and into your heart? That is what it's all about. You know, the last time I spoke, I challenged all the parents to train up the children, but now I'm challenging the parents. Are you still training yourself? Because you can't take the kids anywhere you haven't been. And we are never too old to keep learning. Had a conversation in the office last week, and someone said, I've read that at least 100 times, and I've never seen that before. And I said, it's because the Holy Spirit knew you needed it now, not then. But that's what it's all about, staying in the Word. And we all know that whatever is in our head is reflected in our hearts. And what's in your heart is reflected in what's your head. You know, I guess that's why I would, as part of my life, I've made it where, you know, I don't do the R-rated movies, and I don't watch a lot of these shows that are on, because, one, when it gets to the end of it, I'm going, man, I just wasted 2 hours. And then I'm going, what could I have done with that 2 hours? Because fear and doubt and lack of trust, whose tools are those? Satan's, the devil's. And what we say earlier in the scripture, it says that he's roaming around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So what does he use? Fear or doubt or lack of trust. We know our enemy, but we also know the victor. And that is who we need to know the best. Be aware of him, but don't pay him homage with any of this other satanic stuff. Don't let fear and doubt and lack of trust come in. When you do, take it to the Lord and cast it to him. Because that's what it's all about. Secondly, the importance of training together is because we need to encourage everyone. A servant needs some encouragement. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that, whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. So Paul was talking to the people of Thessalonica and just saying, you're doing the right things. You're putting on the armor, the spiritual armor that you need. Keep that up and encourage one another. I know that it's easy to be discouraged, especially in this day and age. But we got to be careful to not have the wrong attitude, because that having that attitude can immediately tear down all the good stuff that you've been doing. Proverbs 15:17 says, better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. Think about it. Have you ever had a bad waiter or waitress with an attitude? How does that affect you? You know, if you've seen a TikTok of people reporting about someone named Karen, if your name's Karen, I'm sorry, but that's what they call them now. But someone with, and that person normally has a bad attitude. How does that affect you? Again, confession time. So I call a local restaurant. I make reservations for our family as we're getting ready to have a last dinner with Kyler and his family. And I have them at 6 o'clock. I show up, and the guy at the counter goes, oh, we just seated your party. Really? I go around the corner, and yep, there's a party of 15 sitting at our table, but it wasn't Ken, because I'm Ken. So they scrambled, the waiter that took us back, I said, that's not my group. Yes, it is. No, it's not. See these people behind me? They're the ones that are my group. So they scrambled to put together another set of tables in another location that is out in the main traffic area. And we were trying to have a more secured, quiet spot. And then we had the waiter with the attitude. Yeah. What do you want to drink? So we told him. And he brought the drinks. And I told him at the beginning, it's all on one check. I'm taking care of this. Well, he went and got the orders, but then the food started coming. This end got served, then two people at this end got served, then one person here got their food, and it was like, did you not turn them all? Well, they're just really busy back there. And he was giving, you know, still giving me the attitude. And I just looked across the table at Tina and she goes, because my personality is one who normally likes to say something. And she goes, remember. And I said, okay. So we finally got our food. We had a good time. You know, everybody was able to sit there together. And then it came time for me to pay the bill and determine what his tip would be. Now, the Ken side wanted to go 1 cent. But the Holy Spirit was saying, who are you representing? So he got the 20%, which is what I normally do. Even if they don't deserve it, we are still supposed to serve one another in love. You never know. He could have got there and been there early, and they gave him the worst section of known areas for tipping. And he knew those tables. That's the way it always is on a Thursday night. So, or the staff in the kitchen got there late, and so everybody's food is late. And he's the one that has to be the face-to-face when it's happening back there, and it's not him. So, take all these things in consideration. Again, your head and your heart are involved. And then, working together. That's why I love having my wife to go. Because we need to know that we're not alone. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. On our own, we couldn't do it. But when we are filled with his love, we can accomplish these things. Thirdly, seek the commander's approval. How can we do that? By serving properly. The easiest way to get approval is by doing what you're supposed to in the first place. And by listening to the right voice. Galatians 5:25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in what? Every part of our lives. Not just the areas you pick and choose. Because when you give your life to Jesus, you're supposed to surrender what? All. When you were baptized in this baptismal in a baptismal tank, whether here or I was at a lake, when you went under, you didn't hold part of your body up saying, God, you got all of it except this. You know, some people try to take their wallet and do that. But we surrender all. So since we do that, every part of our lives should reflect this. And why? Because you go in Romans 8:5-6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And how is this best accomplished? 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve, to use them well to serve one another. So, my question for you, are you using your gifts here at FBC? Or even in the community? And if so, are you always bringing glory to God in everything that you do? Whether you're a customer at the store, or you're the one behind the counter checking everybody up for their groceries. Whether you're on the golf course, or you're the guy working in the golf clubhouse. In all things, are we bringing glory to God in all that we do? Because if we can't say yes, then we need to fix that. You heard opportunities today on how you can serve through the Awana program, or helping out with youth ministry, or our Sunday school class. And it's not just there. You could serve our senior adults with 55 Alive and helping Jack and Cheryl with that ministry. It's going great, but we have two people that are moving away. So guess what? That opens up two spots. Who's going to join the team? Those are the things we need to look for. And better yet, if you walk in and just say, God's really showing me this lately, I need to do this. Guess what? You are empowered to do that. We have people that need to step up to be our elders and serve in leadership here. It is serve in leadership. Because we need that. Without someone to drive the ship, what's going to happen? And there are other projects that are coming up. Great, Ken. You give me a guilt trip. Yep. I'm just calling it what it is, though. I can't do it all. You know, this last week at the picnic, I need to apologize. Because while it went well, there was a moment my attitude stunk. Because people didn't listen, and I was upset. And I apologize. I moved from serving in love to serving with attitude. And you can't have that. I love you guys. You knew that. And that is something that it shouldn't just be from me. You know, Will should know that Bob loves him. And Rita should know that Winnie cares and loves her. And these are people that are here just across the pew from you, and you know that they may be next door to you or 5 miles away, but if you need them, all you got to do is call. You know that old song? You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. We can count on each other. And that's why we know we can be on mission, because we are on mission to serve. I told you it's going to be repetitive. Bring up the acrostic there for me, next one. There's the scriptures that go with it. That was your daily phone call this week with the scriptures that went with it. But you heard it. So I told you what I was going to tell you. I told you. Now I'm going to tell you what I told you. I had a speech teacher that said that was the best way to make a persuasive speech. Let them know ahead of time. Tell them. Then remind them after, as you close it all up. So, surrender daily. 1 Corinthians 13:3. I can do all these things, but if I don't have love, It stinks. Make every effort to follow. It is through what we put forth the effort. It's our decision. So we're making a daily decision to follow. Keep it back up there, please. Did it go away? Nope, next one, back. There you go, thank you. Respect. That's even when they don't deserve it. Keeping your vow. A vow is a promise. A promise that you are not to break. And encourage everyone. That's what today's about. We come together to be encouraged and challenged, to spur one another on. We are to reprove and rebuke and restore in love. And that's part of encouragement. When you're training up your child to not touch a hot stove, and they still want to do that, you smack the hand or you pull it away and say, no. Or you might just say, okay, touch it. But then they get burned and they go, yeah, I warned you. No. As we do these things, we need to examine our hearts. We had that time of communion to make sure that we are right with God. But it is just during communion time that we need to do the self-examination. I challenge you this week to ask yourself, now bring up that question. Is God getting the first part of every part of my life, or just the leftovers? You set your schedule. Is God first, or does he get what's left over? Because serving has to be a priority. You know, I am so thankful for the worship teams that we have. We are so blessed as a church to have 5 different teams. And each one of them serve you in love. It's not to get up here and show off. Oh, look how good I am on my guitar. But it's an invitation for you to join them as they worship and serve the Lord with gladness. We can't say that we're too busy because we need to know that he is truly first in our lives. Serving is not always convenient or easy. Like this morning, hey, flooded church, need vacuums. I know, it sucks, but hey, fa-dum-bum, okay? Dad joke, okay? But we are all called to serve God and serve one another. So whether we're serving in the nursery, holding that crying baby that will not be consoled, or better yet, changing the diaper, and they just exploded. Or you come in and you're setting up communion. Or you're on the leadership team. Or you're in the youth group on a week-long camping trip with hot, sweaty teenagers and children. Sometimes ministry stinks. But if we are doing it for the right reasons, if we are serving the Lord with gladness, and if we are doing what God has called us to do, then that means the body is working the way it's supposed to. If you are sitting on your talents and not serving, then I'm calling you out. Because we need you all. What can I do to help this church be all that it can be for the glory of God? It may be different labels or even levels of work, but it all comes back to this. When I first came here, this was on the bulletin every week. It was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the two commandments. Wait a minute, Ken, there's 10. Think about it. 2. It's easier for us to remember. But all those other 10 fall right into those. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you're going to not use his name in vain. You're going to remember the Sabbath day. You're going to... See what I'm saying? And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to kill him. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to bear false witness. Okay? So, where are you at? Worship team, come on up. It's a self-exam. I can't take the exam for you. Look at your heart. Are you serving the Lord? And not just getting by. It's hard. But I know this. I have a wife who is a teacher. And after this last week, she knew it's a calling. And she's doing it out of love for those kids that are coming into her classroom. As we look at where God has placed us, I ask you, are you serving him the way he has called you to serve? So, as we sing this last song, I just want you to stay in your seats. Inside and ask the Holy Spirit to show you how you might be able to use your giftings.